si vinto festai, io si vinto festai, sono orgoglioso, orgoglioso.
At Asda, you can get a 50-inch Polaroid smart LED TV for just £249. But be warned, it might leave you with a full house this summer. Asda, save money, live better.
Selected stores subject to availability.
Blog Talk Radio.
All right, fans, here we go. 4 2-minute rounds of boxing scheduled. Women's in the ring.
Welcome, Fight fans, to another edition, the fourth episode of the 2-Minute Round, your hook and jab look at female boxing. I am your co-host, Felipe Leon, and with me is also our other co-host, David Avila and Elena Baby Doll Reed. David, why don't you say hello to the people listening?
Hi, everybody out there, and I'm in Las Vegas right now getting ready for the two-night fight card, and just looking forward to this show.
Elena, how you doing out there in Phoenix, Arizona?
I'm great. Just got done with my boxing class. I'm excited for this weekend and happy to be on the show.
Great. Also, this is our, like I mentioned before, this is our fourth episode of the 2-Minute Round, where we take a look at the last 2 weeks of action in female boxing, as well as, you know, what's coming up in the next couple of weeks or the next couple. Can you hear me?
This is David Avila. We've been having technical difficulties with Felipe right now, but we can go on, and well, hopefully Felipe will return soon. First off, we wanted to take a look back at the fight world beginning on February. Actually, Friday, April 22nd, from Argentina. There was some pretty good fights going on. Leonella Paola Utica defended her IBF flyweight title and got a unanimous decision over Soledad del Valle Frias. And then in San Luis, Argentina, Johanna Belen Alfonso defended her WBO lightweight title with the unanimous decision over Brenda Carvajal. And then we go to Puerto Rico. This is all on April 22nd. In Puerto Rico, Amanda Serrano stopped the previously undefeated Adina Kiss of Hungary with a fourth round knockout. That was a non-title fight, but that was the first time that Amanda Serrano had fought in Puerto Rico. Even though she is Puerto Rican, she had been fighting primarily in the United States. What do you know about her, Elena, about Amanda Serrano?
You know, to be honest with you, I heard a little bit about her before I retired as one of the up-and-coming fighters. And then just from not even just watching boxing, but just hearing people talk, she's been a name that I hear more and more about each year. And just kind of watching everything out there, it really seems like when she was out there in Puerto Rico, I believe, was she the first female to headline a fight out there in Puerto Rico?
To my knowledge, I'm not sure if she was the first to headline. Probably so, because I know that most of the Puerto Rican girls, in fact, Felipe Leon had done a story about Puerto Rican girls fighting in the U.S. and never fighting in their own island. And I think that was the first time then. Serrano's heavy hitting.
Yeah, and she was welcomed by Puerto Rico. She was on all their major, like, you know, talk shows, and she really did a lot of promotion out there, and it really seemed like they really welcomed her with open hands. So it seems like she's definitely on her way out there, which is exciting for her. And I think, you know, if she got some promotion behind her in the U.S., I think she could do the same out here too. She is a great fighter, and she has, you know, the record behind her and the team behind her. So I'd like to see her do more.
Yeah, she's been fighting with Lou DiBella's promotion committee. I don't know if she has an actual contract with him, but hi, is that Chief Felipe? Well, we're trying to get a hold of Felipe. He's having technical difficulties. You're still cutting in and out, Felipe. Anyway, Serrano is a left-handed fighter with a lot of power, and she's been knocking out everybody. And
yeah,
one
and
of the
sister,
things,
same thing. One of the, another top fighter and her sister, they're both been around for a while, so it's kind of another neat thing that both sisters are doing really well in the boxing scene.
Elena, what do you think about Amanda going down in weight? She started as a lightweight. She won the title there, went down to super featherweight, won the title there, and then dropped down to the featherweight and won the title there. She's been talking about going down to super bantamweight. What do you think of that? She's about 5'6" in height. Is there danger going dropping down that low to see if she can win a title?
I just don't see why it's necessary. I mean, is there that much of a difference in the pool of fighters at that weight? Or is it just something – or is it just something she wants to do so she can have belts at different weights? Because I'm not – I don't understand the thought process behind that. I guess it's something we'd have to ask her personally because has she – I mean, there's got to be more people out there, right, at those weights for her to fight. So do you know anything about what their thought is on that?
No, I've just been reading about it and hearing that she did want to get a fourth title. And to me, I thought it was dangerous. I'm like, you keep dropping weight. The lower and lower you get, instead of dominating, you start getting too weak.
No, I agree. I don't, like I said, I think it's really like, you know, what's the motivation behind it, number one. But yeah, of course, if she's, because she looks very healthy at those other weights, I don't know why she'd want to drop so low. And you're right, it would be in some aspects maybe dangerous because she is taller. So that is a – I don't understand that. I don't understand what the benefit would be to motivate her to do that when it would be such a drop for her.
Yeah, that's my thought process also. I know that in California – they don't really like people to be dropping down that low because they say that it endangers the fighter because of the lack of water.
Dehydration, yeah. If you get dehydrated, which, right, most fighters do to some extent, it actually takes 3 full days to be rehydrated. So you weigh in the day before. You can still drink everything that you want to drink and do whatever, but you're not going to go into that fight fully hydrated. And so when you're, you know, taking 10, 15 pounds off and you're already not that big of a person because it's a percentage of your weight, it does get dangerous. Your body's, you know, 75, 80% water. Your muscles, to perform your best, you need to be hydrated. And so there's no way for that to happen if you're dropping that much weight.
Yeah, that's my feelings exactly. I think that it's kind of dangerous. We'll see. We'll find out one day and talk to Amanda about that. Also, on the 23rd, that was on the Triple G fight card. They had two female bouts on that card. And the one that stood out was the Kenya Enriquez from Mexico, the former WBL flyweight champion. She fought against Amaris Quintana of San Diego. And Amaris is a very good fighter. She actually went up a little bit in weight. She normally fights at straw weight or minimum weight. And
so for 105, correct?
Yeah, and Kenya just seems so much stronger, though. I mean, Amadis hung in there, but Kenya just seems so much stronger. Were you able to see that fight, Elena?
I saw little clips. I did a lot of reading on it because there was a lot of write-ups about it. But yeah, she seems, you know, this is her first time ever being dropped, right, in a fight?
Yes. And
you're right. She just seems like she was overpowered. And there was a power difference for sure. So I'd have to watch more, but just all the write-ups, that's pretty much, you know, what they said. Maurice is a great boxer, so it was nothing against her boxing. She was just outpowered that night.
Yeah, she got staggered and dropped in the first round, and I don't know how she got up and survived, but she was able to go four more rounds. And it was a pretty exciting fight. Hey, Felipe, is that you?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, I can hear you better.
Yes.
We're talking about Kenya's fight with Amaris Quintana.
Okay, so you guys are already at the yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, you're still breaking up a little bit. Yeah, I can hear you, but you're still you're kind of bouncing around.
All right, go ahead and see what
you're doing.
There you were clear.
Okay.
Yeah, so, and the other fight was Sinisa Estrada against Celine Lopez. That fight was, even though Sinisa won every round was close. It was just one of those fights that, yes, she did win every round, but every round was very, very close. I actually thought Celine Lopez won the second round, but, I mean, they were really exchanging punches there. Both left looking like they were in a fight. That was for sure. What did you think of that fight, Elena?
And, you know, when we talked to Estrada, I'm looking forward to seeing her be in more fights like this where she's more challenged because she does have that pedigree and background. So it was a close fight, and I agree with you on that second round. But I think it was really,
It was pretty good. It was one of those fights that I think Sinisa actually wanted the knockout because usually she's pretty defensive and she doesn't get hit as much. But in order to go for that knockout, she had to take punches to give her punches. And she got tagged a few times, but nothing bad.
I think it was a perfect, you know, as her career progresses, it was a good fight, like a learning lesson for her. You know, she still put on a good fight, but I think there's a lot of things she can take from this fight to move on and go forward to get into those bigger fights.
Yeah, definitely. She's 6-0. And... Hello?
Can you hear me? Hear me?
Not clearly.
Area code 99. Go ahead.
Okay,
go ahead.
Still having difficulty. Sorry about that, audience.
I want to ask you a question about the first fight on the Triple Z undercard, the first team on bout, because you had said, and I had read too, that they had far previous to this fight, correct?
Yes. Kenya Enriquez and Amaris had sparred before. And, yes.
Go ahead.
In fact, they had tried to conduct in a fight before that. And like Amaris said in our show, in our last show, that she didn't feel it was the right time or the right audience. And but there, the forum in front of 16,000 people, she wanted that fight.
It was an opportunity for sure.
Yeah, it turned out to be a doozy, too. I mean, the crowd was into it from the very beginning. And of all the fights... we spoke to Tom Loeffler. I spoke to him yesterday, and he was telling me that if it wasn't for the women, that show would have been, the whole fight card would have been over very quickly because almost everybody got knocked out.
Yeah. No, I think, you know, for Amaris, she had boxing skill, and then she has the heart, right, to be a contender and to be in there. Kenya as well. I mean, like I said, like I think she's gonna. She is an exciting fighter. She'll always be an exciting fighter. But we had talked about how sparring can be so different than an actual fight. I believe Omari felt more comfortable because of the sparring going into this fight. Yeah, and so I think, you know, that's something that's kind of interesting too, because sparring isn't fighting, right? If you, when we watch like two fighters who have respect for each other and it's kind of boring, that's when we're like, it looks like there's sparring out there. It's not the same intensity. It's not, I mean, you wear smaller gloves. You're out there. We're not trying to kill each other. It's not a killing sport, but you're trying to win and doing whatever you can to win. Where sparring is more, yeah, of course you want to win, but you're learning along the way and the nerves just aren't there. So I just think that, again, you know, maybe it's just a lesson for everyone out there that you can't hold too much on someone's sparring, because some people, also this, right, some people are great at sparring. Like, they look amazing in the gym, but as soon as they get out to fight, they freeze and they look horrible. They've never won a fight, but you watch them in the gym and you think, you know, they have world titles. So sparring and fighting in front of thousands of people is a completely different thing.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. From what I've seen, and it's funny that you say that. Yeah, Felipe.
Can you hear me?
So you're still scattered there,
David.
Excuse me?
There's a call on the line. There's a call on the line.
Oh, okay. Is that Kelly? Are you on the line? Hello? Is Kelly on the line? Well, audience, we're waiting for Kelly Reese from Rhode Island. She should be on the show soon. We seem to be having difficulties with the outside lines, but please hold on. We'll move on with the show until we get Kelly Reese on the line.
Yeah, I guess, you know, it'd be nice to kind of talk about her again, right? Every woman we've talked about, they all have really fascinating stories behind them. But, you know, the research I've done, and of course she can correct me when she gets on, is she's from Rhode Island, I believe, correct?
Yes.
And she is Native American.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, is that someone? But, yeah, she's also just a very tough fighter who's fought the best in the world, and she's gone all over, and she has a full-time job doing all of this.
Wow. Isn't that the way of the female fight world, that they have to work? They can't really just fight and that's it, Elena? Was that true in your case?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was very young. I'm sure you remember, David. I was and a lot of people out there are young as well, but I was a senior in high school when I turned pro. I was lucky in that I had my family who supported me, and then I did have, you know, little managers and promoters and people who helped support me so I could just train. So I had little jobs here and there, but I was going to college mostly while I was boxing. But a lot of the women that I were fighting, they were like professional lawyers, and they all had full-time jobs. And one of the reasons for myself that, you know, I was kind of ready to move on is that I was going to have to start working and getting on to kind of the next part of my life. But, yeah, I mean, you can't support yourself with the boxing wages that women get. So the only way, you have to pay for training, right? My mom used to call it an expensive hobby. So a lot of times women are spending more on training and, you know, time-wise and doing everything than they're actually making from the fight. So these women, they love what they do, because otherwise it's just not going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, how many years did you do it?
Oh, my gosh. From 14 until 30.
Oh.
So, yeah, I fought that long. So it was, you know, a good 16 years.
That's quite an expensive hobby, huh?
But you know what? I was lucky. It was an expensive hobby, but I was so lucky that because I worked so hard and because I had so much passion, that there's a lot of people who believed in me and you know, that's why I feel so strongly about being a boxing coach and, for, you know, to help people. It's like my tool because I was helped so much and able to live out my dreams. And so how can you not want to give back and, you know, be a part of the something that you love?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, we have a caller on the line. Hi, this is 2 Minute Ron. Who's calling in? Hi, this is 2 Minute Ron. Who's calling in? Area code 249. Hi, this is 2 Minute Round. Who's calling in? Anybody there?
All right. It's a detective talking.
Well, I guess we lost the call. Also, this past Saturday in Austria, there was a major upset in a way. Mexico's Esmeralda Moreno won a majority decision over the. I guess the girl was from Austria. Yes, it was against. It was in Austria, and but anyway, she traveled. It was the first time she traveled out of Mexico, traveled to Austria, and won a majority decision. And how hard is it to win a fight in Europe, Elena?
Speaking from personal experience, it's you know, I've seen it actually happening more and more as the last couple of years. But no, when we went out there, I can 100% like guarantee the first fight I had with Regina Helmich, even the second fight, but the first fight I outboxed her every single round. It was very clear. Even she knew that she was beating that fight, and they gave us a draw, which was amazing at that time. So it's literally like you're gonna have to knock them out if you want to win. Go ahead.
Did the crowd boo? Because of the drama?
Yeah, it was like one of the Rocky movie, right, with the Russian. It was probably, like, I get goosebumps just thinking about it. But Regina is a superstar in Germany, and rightfully so, right? She's a superstar. People love her. You know, I was definitely not the one that was the star going out there, but they all booed the decision, and they really, you know, cheered for me and welcomed me. And that was probably more amazing than anything else that have ever happened, just, you know, turning Regina's fans into my fans that night.
Yeah, that's the way it goes. I mean, you got to take a chance, but in a way, I guess it's worth it to go to Europe. They do pay more. Well, in those days, they did pay more. It seems to me that there's more parity now, at least in Mexico, Japan, with your European salaries. But this women still get paid less.
The experience of it is, you know, you go there, you're treated literally like a rock star. You know, there's people waiting outside of your hotel to get your autograph. You have drivers and bodyguards everywhere, and you need them because there's crowds everywhere you go. And so it's the funniest thing to go out there and be such a superstar to come home and no one knows who you are. You know, it's such a different world, but what a great experience to experience what it is to be, you know, for people to know who you are and for promoters to promote you, because people do accept you, and to see that all happen and be a part of it is something I'll never forget.
Yeah, it seems like the countries that do promote the girls, like Mexico, for instance, they have so many good fighters now. I mean, they have a promotion company behind them. They're developing dozens and not even just dozens, hundreds of fighters now. And,
yeah, well, we have the fighters out here. We just don't know who they are, you know. But there's great fighters all over. Even here in Arizona, there's a lot of great amateur females out here. But I can't tell you their names, which is horrible. You know, even me, they're just not promoted. And we talk about other places that promote women. We do. It's the UFC, right? They promoted women, and look how great that they did. It's just really, it comes down to boxing and them not getting behind the women like they should.
For those of you listening, Lena also tried MMA, and she fought. How many fights did you fight, Lena?
I was 4-1 in MMA.
And what was the difference in training and then also in injuries?
Well, wrestling is where I got my injury, and that's part of MMA. So, right, your limbs are a lot more apt to get injured. But the difference, this is the thing, MMA is still progressing as a sport, right? It's still a new sport. So even when I was starting, we were all kind of just trying to figure out what a pro practice was, like what you have to do. Do you do kickboxing and then boxing and then jujitsu and then wrestling? Are they all different or do you put them all together? You know, how do you spar without too much injury? So the difference is there's a lot more hours, right? Because it's still figuring out. And there's a lot of different things to study. There was more promotion in MMA. There's a lot more sponsors. They focused on that a lot more. So there's a lot more of a business running behind for everyone, not just the top fighters, but for everyone in MMA. And they did. There was a lot more women who are promoted. You watch that, you know, even on the smaller level, like on the Tough Show. So I love boxing. Boxing will always be my favorite. And I have to say this, even though we're not talking about it, the reason I love boxing is because to be great, you have to be the best, because in boxing, you're only working on one thing, and that's your hands, right? So is everybody else. So you have to be really good because it's only one focus. You only have one tool, and that's your hands. Or in MMA, you know, it's, like I said, it's still growing. So maybe if you're a good athlete and you have heavy hands, like, you'll be the best. Or it's just you have so many more tools. So I feel like there's a difference there, you know. Like, I feel like there's few and far between in boxing, because it's going to be a long road to be at the top in boxing. Or I think MMA still, because it is so new, maybe it's not as difficult to get to the top.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, in boxing, it just seems like a long grind. And MMA, it seems like it's very, very fast. Maybe because of the injuries, maybe because there's just so many weapons you have to polish. And nobody lasts undefeated in MMA. Whereas in boxing, you can kind of last, depending on who you fight. You can be undefeated for several years. But it is a different sport.
C-Hop, right? James Toney, the way that they were skilled and the way that they moved, and they weren't all about taking punches. They lasted a long time. Floyd Mayweather, he's not a spring chicken either. You know, he looks very young and is very athletic, but he's even changed over time. But he's by the book, and so he'll last forever too. And so you're right. I think and then maybe on your body can be a little bit, or is more difficult, because you are having so many practices, and they're just different, and there's a lot more differences, right? Boxing, same thing, you are in for hours, but it's a focus on one thing, and, you know, the focus is to hit someone more, or knock them out, and not get hit, like, you don't want to get hit, so, it's just, I think when you're focusing on one thing, it's different than focusing on so many different aspects.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true. But getting back to the to what happened the last week, it says that I was reading that Christina McMahon, who's from Ireland, had a protest against Zelina Munoz of Mexico. They fought about a month ago, and McMahon had asked for an investigation into the gloves, the judging, and the lack of anti-doping tests. I mean, she was asking for the whole gamut.
Wow.
But then she withdrew the appeal. I don't know why. I heard that they were thinking about doing a rematch. Did you get a chance to see that fight between McMahon and Munoz?
I didn't. No, I have not seen it yet. I did read about it, but no, I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, I actually thought Zelina Munoz won the fight. I didn't see any disparity in judging. I mean, there was some close rounds, as there is in boxing, especially when you don't have knockouts or knockdowns. There's always a contention over each round in judging.
Very subjective, yeah.
Yeah, it's just very subjective. That's a key word. And, I mean, take, for instance, when Maidana fought Floyd Mayweather, a lot of people thought that Maidana won the fight. He was the aggressor the first fight, very much.
I thought
but,
on that first, the first Castillo card.
Castillo
fight.
And Mayweather?
Same thing, right? Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh.
Oh, that was a very close fight. Yeah. That
yeah.
was totally
yeah, and so,
subjective.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
It just matters what you want. What do you prefer? Do you prefer a defensive counter-punching fighter, or do you prefer the guy who's taking the action to the other guy and hitting him? Maybe he's not hitting clean every punch, but he is hitting him. What do you think about that, Lena? Do you think that the person that's actually doing the hitting deserves more credit than the guy who's just blocking and pot-shotting?
I would love to say that I could give you just one answer, but again, it's so subjective. It would just depend on the fighters and how much that person is pushing through, like how sloppy the punches are, how clean the punches are, and if that other person, Floyd Mayweather, yeah, he defends a lot, but he's throwing back. They might not always be the most exciting punches. You know, a lot of times they are, but they're not always. So it just really depends. I can't tell you because it is so subjective. I think you have to go fight the fight on that one. Of course, my favorite style. It's, of course, fun to watch exciting fighters who just go forward. But, you know, the best is someone who's skilled and is aggressive. And when that happens, I mean, it just blows you away. And not every fight for Floyd has been that way, but when he is that way, he is exciting. It is, you know, it does make you love boxing watching that. Sorry,
yeah, exactly.
That wasn't really an answer, but.
Hello. I can hear something. It sounds like you, Felipe, but I can't make out the words.
Okay.
So we're having. Hello. Is Callie Reese on the line? Hopefully they'll come back on. Recently, speaking of Amanda Serrano, she called out for a fight against IBF featherweight champion Jennifer Han, who just recently won her fight. What do you think about that?
Oh, that's exciting.
You think that would be a good fight?
I do. You know, I would love to see that, but I think it'd be interesting on where they held that fight, because I'm sure Han isn't going to want to go to the East Coast, right? And will Toronto want to come to Texas? You know, where does that happen? I think it'd have to be somewhere in the middle, like Fairgrounds. And I think, of course, going back with Han, I have to be on her side for this one. But I think that would be a great fight for women's boxing. So
yeah,
I applaud to Toronto for calling her out, because that's not an easy fight.
Okay. I got a word. Is Maricela Cornejo on the line? Hello?
Yes.
Hi, Maricela. How are you doing?
I'm doing
well.
How are you?
Good, good. We also have Elena Babydoll Reed on the line, the former flyweight world champion.
Hi, Elena.
Hi. It was great. It's great to have you on the show, so thank you.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So, Maricela, are you living and training out of Los Angeles, or is it Las Vegas?
LA. I live in LA, and I train in Bell, which is Azteca Boxing Gym.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, there was controversy over that. Well, not controversy, but people are wondering what you're fighting about.
We're trying to do our research, and so I was also right in Las Vegas for quite some time for my boxing. I was born and raised, and am now back in Phoenix, Arizona. Why did you leave Vegas? Because it is, well, California as well, right? They're both centers of boxing. Is it because of your career outside of boxing that you're back in LA, or was there other reasons?
No, to be honest, I started in LA in 2012 when I first started boxing. And I noticed, you know, women's boxing was not out there. And I just observed what the women were doing, the current, you know, boxers were doing that wasn't working. And I just observed a lot of people and a lot of, I did a lot of networking. And it caused me to move from place to place. And that was, one, to get my name out there. And two, if I saw an open door, an opportunity, I jumped right on it. It wasn't the easiest. So I started in L.A. for 2 years, was in Vegas for two, moved to Miami for like a year and some change, and then went back to Vegas for 3 months last October, and was there until like the ending of December, beginning of January, and that's when I relocated back to L.A. And I say I did full circle, and I did damage out there at the same time. You know, people got to know my name, and I believe it worked on my end. And I'm very happy with the decisions that I made of jumping on an opportunity when that I saw that door.
Yeah,
open.
No, I think that that's great. And I've try to, of course, research as much as I can, and it seems like, you know, you're beautiful, you're intelligent, you're athletic, and so you are finding your own way. I myself moved, I think, 6 times, like, when I was 19 and 1 summer for boxing. And, of course, I was lucky to find a home. Do you think that, you know, with going, because obviously for promotion-wise, what you've done is right, but do you think it would help? Or have you found a boxing coach that you feel comfortable with that can take you to that next level?
Absolutely. When I walked into the gym, I had met this trainer back in like when I first started boxing, like a year after, or I mean some months after I started boxing. And I remember he stuck out a lot to me, but I think I moved right after to Vegas, and you know, I went around, I trained with Mayweather Sr. He was awesome. They're great people. But it wasn't, you know, my style, and it didn't work for me. LA, Yuka Morales here at Azteca, it's like the shoe fits perfectly.
And that's great.
I truly was never taught how to throw punches correctly. I kind of just watched and learned from that, you know. And I'm sure you understand as well. So,
that's what made me get to the next level was, you know, my coach. So I'm glad. And it is, right, to learn how to do things correctly. If you're athletic and strong, those things all help. But to be the best, you have to learn how to box.
Yeah, definitely. So I feel like I'm barely even, you know, I've been with him for January, like mid-January. And I fought for the world title, you know, and 4 months after, like 3.5 months after meeting him, you know. So I have so much more to learn, but I'm in a good place right now. I'm in a very good place right now. I feel like, you know, a happy boxer is a dangerous boxer. So I finally found a home and a family.
So Maricela, what was your experience like in New Zealand?
It was good. It was great. You know, I just went there for the fight. I wasn't, you know, about observing or going around and getting into, I don't know, whatever is going on the outside. I just rested until weigh-ins and, you know, weighed in, fought. And then after the fight, the next day I finally, you know, got to experience New Zealand and The weather was like Seattle, Washington, rainy, gloomy. But it was fun. It was a great experience. And Lisa Lewis, you know, she saw a vision and she did it. No matter what, you know, happened after that. Hey, she's the one who, you know, opened that door for us all. So that's
what was it like?
Appreciated.
What was it like being with all so many female prize fighters on one card? Did you get to exchange notes or talk at all?
Yeah, I spoke to a few girls. One of them, Nono, from Tampa, I believe, or Miami, Florida.
Miami
area.
Boscus?
She was, yeah, she's awesome. I got to meet her. And,
I'm back on the line.
Sweetheart.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, yeah, clearly, finally.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I just got back on the line. Go ahead, Montana.
Yeah, so
I just wanted to make sure that you guys could hear me.
So, yeah, she's a sweetheart. And the other girls, I had met them in New York at Gleason's. But it was amazing. It was beautiful. Like, I love it. I love it. I'm all about women, you know, boxing. I'm all about women power. And there's room for everybody. So there's no need to hate on other women or be jealous. Dude, there's room for everyone. You know, just let your light shine and it'll be good.
So, please ask you all these questions, but how do you feel about the fight that happened? Like, what is your take on it? And do you, are you looking for a rematch?
Well, right off the bat, I mean, the controversy began and, Kaylee, she was awesome. I have so much respect for her and her team, and every woman that steps into that ring, I have respect for them. But she also said that herself, that the card was tainted, and you know she would be up for a rematch. And everybody there that heard the scorecard or that seen the scorecard when I posted it, if you know boxing, you know there's a damn story behind that scorecard.
Those scorecards were kind of crazy.
Yeah, so I was up by one, and then the third judge had me down by eight. So we're still trying to figure out what fight he was trying to, or watching. But, yeah, that'd be awesome for women's boxing for another rematch, you know, or for a rematch. And she said she'd be cool with it because, one, she didn't agree with that scorecard either. So so I think we're building something up over here. We're trying to get things aligned, and it'd be great for women's boxing to have us headline here in LA. You know, I have a few contacts that we're working on something, and she already said she wanted a rematch, or she agrees for a rematch, and Mauricio Suleiman also, said rematch, and yeah, if all things go well, then there'll be a rematch here in the U.S., and we'll get judges who know how to freaking score the fight.
And do you have a promoter behind you?
I do not. I just have angels all around me. I just think it's truly, I don't know. I'm well taken care of by my faith. And I've always just, since the beginning, I saw a vision of when I first stepped into Freddie Roach's gym in 2012. And I just had that vision, and it was clear. And I was like, well, I don't even know what a jab is. They're like, jab. I was like, what is that? They're like, right hand. What is that? It's your right hand. So I just saw that vision clearly. I remember meeting Oscar De La Hoya, and I just said, I'm going to be the first woman to be signed with him. And fast forward 4.5, 5 years later, while I was living out in Miami, you know, we met up, and I was on De La Hoya TV, which that's a project that he's been working on, and they're trying to launch off. And, you know, we had a few meetings, and some words were exchanged along those lines. I won't quote anything, but, yeah, it's pretty awesome to see that through it all. You know, I've never lost that vision, even when, I mean, you as a woman boxer, you know how difficult it is. So it's always been clear that
No,
it's going
like
to happen.
Word
in. yeah, it truly is. It truly is. Yeah, nobody sees it but you, and that's okay if they don't agree with you or they don't believe in you, because that's your vision. God gave you that vision. Don't be mad at them because they can't see it. But, just, you know, you got to believe in yourself and believe in what you're doing and be a good person. And God will open up so many doors like he has for me. And I'm not trying to be all religious or anything like that, but it's just my faith. My faith that has pushed me forward no matter how many times I've fallen in. And I've been blessed with a great team behind me that truly, they just see my passion and my drive for it. And they just want to help out. And I, at times I'm like, dang, dude, I'm so blessed with this because there's many boxers out there who don't have that. And yet God continues to open these doors for me. So I'm extremely blessed with that. And I just know I whatever I do it out of my heart and with no bad intentions to hurt anybody. So, you know, you reap what you sow.
So I think everything you said, you know, I feel very much the same on a lot of those things. I guess another question for you then is, are you continuing to be in acting and modeling, and are those still also part of your vision?
Yeah, definitely. I truly started boxing because I was auditioning like everybody and their grandma out in L.A.
Yeah.
So I was like, how am I going to separate myself from this beautiful girl next to me, you know? How am I going to get the director's attention? And that was when I came up with this brilliant idea. And Gina Carano was, you know, the Ronda Rousey at that time. And
she
had just done a Haywire movie. Oh,
yeah.
Really? So she actually inspired me. I was like, you know what? I'm going to be the Gina Carano in boxing.
Oh, yeah.
I came up with that great idea.
All her MMA coaches. Yeah, Gina's an awesome girl. But, yeah, and I see you. You're just as beautiful, right, and have all the same talent. So because I'm asking if you're still doing those things, but I just really feel like in women's boxing in the USA, like the one thing that get you over the top, of course, you know, continuing to be a better boxer, is to get yourself out on those other ways so everyday people can see you in movies and different things. And then they turn into watch you boxing, you know, and then the promoters, they have to
Yes, and actually, yeah, I agree with you. And actually, we do have some things coming up here in the next few months that we've been having meetings back to back all last week and the past 2 weeks, actually. And there's going to be a reality show that I'll be joining, and it's a boxing reality show, and that'll be, I believe, late July. So there's that, and then there's also potential for some other things. That are, you know, in Hollywood. So we're working some things out right now, but yes, that is one of the things that I agree with. And, you know, once they see me out there, then they're going to want me in the ring. Then, you know, I told many promoters, I was like, get me while I'm cheap.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
Once I, you know, do something big, I ain't going to just sign, just be like, hey, sign. And I'm going to be like, no, shoot, you got to pay me a nice little, you know, signing bonus or something. But
yeah,
that's all coming up if everything works out fine. But yeah, that's going to be coming out, and I believe July we start filming, and I'll be announcing that once, you know, I'm able to announce that, and on my social media, which is at Mari Cornejo Boxing, or also on one of the biggest like boxing Instagram pages, at Supreme Boxing. They always post a lot of like breaking news and all that. So make sure you guys follow that.
I have a couple questions, Maricela. Go ahead, David.
Of course.
Oh, no. Fine, Felipe. Go ahead.
Maricela, I believe that you announced not too long ago that you were going to possibly be fighting on May 21st at the Commerce Casino out here in Southern California. Is that fight still on?
Yeah, you know what? That fight, I just got word a while ago, actually, right before I called in, that the opponent from Mexico did not work out, and that fight obviously is not going to happen. But I do have something in the works if everything goes right, if both parties agree, in July, I believe, something pretty big. So I'm excited about that, but unfortunately, I was looking forward to this one. I wanted to get back in the ring because, I mean, I did 10 rounds and I got out without a scratch, so I wanted to get back in there and being active, which that's been hurting me. You know, I've fought six times in the last, or no, last year only fought once. So it's very difficult to find a fight. When I had that opportunity, Leo Santa Cruz for MT Sports, they gave me that opportunity to be on this card, and I was super excited, and now I'm super disappointed. But you know what? Things happen for a reason. So,
now,
so to answer your question, no, I'm not going to be fighting anymore on that card.
Yeah. Now, another question is, you know, there are very few female fighters in the United States, or mainly in the United States, that are signed to a promoter that can be put on fight cards and all that. What would you be your advice to those women that are not signed of how you have found success on getting on cards despite not having a promoter?
Do the work. Nobody's going to work as hard as you are, really. Make sure you – social media is huge, you know, nowadays. And you have to keep, you know, people interested. You have to be out there. You have to promote yourself. You have to – unfortunately, you know, sex sells. I'm not saying, you know, go out there and be what do you call it? I don't even know the wording for it, but you – you have to be the full package. You have to, you know, be promotable, be a good fighter as well, and wanting, you know, to get the attention of people. And one, it sucks. It's just like, yo, just, you know, what if she's a good boxer, but, well, she's not good looking. You know, the promoters will say she's not sellable. It's disgusting, but it's reality. You can either accept it or argue with it and, you know, just lay down and start screaming and kicking and not do anything for yourself. But there's many opportunities out there to get your name out there and get their attention. You need to grab their attention. You show them that you're willing to promote yourself and get an audience behind you that want to see you up there, you know. And once you get their attention, then the negotiation will start. But I believe a lot of boxers don't, they lack in that area. And unfortunately, that's the era that we live in now.
David, you had a question?
Yes, I wanted to get back to the fight. What was it? How would you describe your fight against Kelly Reese? Would you call it an intense battle, or was it more strategic?
You know what? Styles make fights, and truly, like, that arena was just, like, so damn quiet. It was like I could hear her breathing. I'm sure she could probably hear me breathing. It was weird. Like, I've had sparring, you know, where it's much more louder, but that was just like a little weird on that end, being so quiet. So I think people were tense. But both of us were kind of, I think she was more of a defensive fighter, that she was just waiting for me to attack. And and yeah, it wasn't anything how I imagined it to be, like us going at it hardcore, which I was super excited for that. But I think both of us were just trying to study each other and get in there and being defensive. So it wasn't like a brawl or anything like that. Absolutely not. But I'm sure if this rematch happens, I know she's going to come in here, you know, trying to prove that she won. And I'm going to go in there trying to prove that, you know, I won. So I think it'll be a different fight this, you know, the rematch, which that'll be awesome for women's boxing, number one. And number two, it'll just be great. It would be a great fight, a great show to put on, you know. And we would be headlining it here in LA with, you know, pretty big names underneath us. That would be co-main events if everything works out well. So for women's boxing, I'm totally excited for it. So at least on my end.
Well, hopefully when you have that information, you can release it. You can come back on the show and kind of give us the exclusive, because by the sounds of it, it sounds like pretty exciting of what you guys are planning.
Yeah. We're in the beginning stages, you know, and the promoters are the ones that are, you know, doing –
all that. I'm not signed with them, but they actually, Pico Rivera owners, they actually reached out to somebody who knows me, and they saw the, you know, the commotion, the noise that we were making out there in New Zealand, and everybody wanted to see that fight, and everyone wanted, you know, to log on or just see it. And they saw the scorecard after, and they said, they immediately called them and said, hey, tell them that they have, you know, it's our arena. Tell them we'll do the rematch here in the U.S. And that, to me, speaks, like, that's huge. You know, someone with their arena wants us to do the main event card here in L.A. So with pretty big names underneath us and, you know, two women fighters here in L.A., I mean, what more can you ask for? You know, this is what anybody would love here in the U.S., to give women the opportunity. So if both parties agree, then, which I agreed, I don't know if they've reached out to her yet, because it's still, we haven't gotten a date yet. So I think they're going to reach out to her. And, well, she already had said, you know, that she wanted the rematch as well. And Mauricio already approved it, the WBC. So I believe they're going to probably just call her, give her the dates, and see, you know, work it from there. I'm not too sure on that end. But as for me, I already agreed to it. And, yeah. But I will definitely.
That'll be great.
Anything else, David or Elena?
No, not at my end.
Okay. Well, Maricela, we'd like to thank you for coming on the two-minute round and giving us your time. And hopefully when that fight gets done, you contact us and we're able to have you back on, and you can give us more details of that fight card.
All right. Thank you guys so much. I appreciate it. And I will definitely give you guys a call back with the news.
All right. Thank you. Have a great night.
All right. Thank you, too. Bye.
All right, so there we have Maricela Cornejo, the current WBC International Middleweight Champion, who challenged Cali Reese of Long Island for the title. Well, actually not challenged, but it was a vacant title, and Cali Reese ended up winning the title. We had a call, I think. Do you know the area code of where Cali Reese was calling in from, David?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I know 909 is Orange County. Oh, here she is right here, okay. I think. Let's see if
we had a call. I think it was 602. Ask her if it's 602, and if it is, have her call it. There it is. Let me patch it in.
Okay.
Hello. Hello. Area code 602. Hello. Who's this?
This is Elena.
Who's this?
That's Elena.
Elena
Reed.
Oh, Elena, she got disconnected. Okay, well, never mind. Well, then we had Maricela Cornejo. We were also supposed to have Cali Reese, who is the WBC middleweight champion, who beat.
Cali Reese is calling in right now.
Okay, let's see if she comes in. But in the meantime, while she's calling in, I know that you guys went over some of the cards. You spoke about the Amanda Serrano card in Puerto Rico. I don't know if you guys spoke last Saturday, April 23rd, on the same night that Kenny Enriquez fought Amaris Quintana at the Forum, and Sinise Estrada defeated Selena Lopez also at the Forum. Ava Knight, former champion Ava Knight, fought again in Mexico and got a unanimous decision over Yuris Rodriguez in the flyweight. I think actually it was a super flyweight division. Did you get a chance to see that fight, David? The scores were 80-72, 79-73, and 78-74. What'd you think of that fight? Because I got to watch it as well.
I thought that Ava gave a better showing this time. She looked a little bit more on her feet. She's still rusty, but from her previous fight where she had that draw, she looked a lot better, a lot better. She did win the fight.
I think that in the second half of the fight, she kind of, I don't want to say she got tired, but she kind of let Judith Rodriguez back into the fight in the second half. So the scores of 78-74, I think, are more in tune to what actually happened than that 80-72 that one judge gave. Do you agree?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I agree with you, too. I think that weight might be too low for her. I think she has to go up in weight. Yeah, that's one thing that a lot of people don't understand.
Uh-huh. Well, one thing that she has been doing lately, especially in the Mexican press, is she has been challenging the WBC flyweight champion, who is Jessica Kika Chavez, and I think that's the fight that they're trying to make, since they're both working with the same promoter, Promociones del Pueblo. But we'll get back to that, because it looks like we have the WBC middleweight champion on the line, Kelly Reese. Let me patch her in. Hello, is this Kelly Reese?
This is Kaylee. How you doing?
Hi, Kelly. This is Felipe León, co-host of the 2 Minute Round with David Avila and Elena Baby Doll Reed on the line. How you doing today?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Good, good. Thank you for – go ahead. Oh, thank you for giving us a little bit of your time. A little earlier, we had the woman that you fought and defeated to capture the WBC middleweight champion, Marisela Cornejo, and she mentioned that one thing that you guys have spoken about is a rematch, and she mentioned that you told her that you didn't necessarily agree with the scorecards given in New Zealand. Can you touch on that, please?
I will touch all over that. I didn't tell her personally that I didn't agree with it. I had put it out there that the 99-91 scorecard, I didn't agree with, because I thought it was way too far off. I thought it was a much closer fight than that. What she kind of put out there to the public in her previous interview, I think it was at the fights last week, was that she stated that I couldn't enjoy my win, and that I thought that she won, and that I don't know where she was going with it, but I will say again that the 99-91 score was way too far. I think it was a little close, because I let it be a little bit too close. There was things in a fifth or sixth, seventh round that I was kind of waiting and hoping that she would come forward a little bit more, and I kind of made it a little closer than it should have been. But there's nothing that suggested that I thought she won, and I think I can't enjoy my win and stuff like that. It was nothing along those lines. But I do agree with the 99-91 was way off.
So do you think in a rematch then that you would be able to beat her by more, because maybe you'd be more aggressive, or you just do things a little differently?
Oh, I don't think I know. I know it would be a totally different fight. I mean, now, especially now that we've met each other in the ring and we've learned each other, so I'm sure she's training on things that she thinks she could have an advantage on me, and vice versa. It would just be hopefully a more competitive fight, and I just progress every fight, win, lose, or draw. I learn and take something from every win or loss or draw every time I fight, so definitely, yeah, it would. Apparently, I got to make it a little bit more convincing this time, because there's so much dispute about the scorecards.
And who are you training with these days?
Right now, my head coach is Mike Velas. He also trains Demetrius Bubu Andrade, and also the father of Jason Estrada. He was a 2004 heavyweight Olympian. Train under him as well.
I've been following all of you, and I think you guys are all great, but I have a lot of respect for you, because number one, it seems like you have a full-time job, which a lot of women do, so you must love this sport, and it also shows you've gone all over the world and really fought, like, the top of the top. Like, it seems like you are a true athlete who loves the sports and wants to be the best that you can be. Am I correct? Is it, like, why do you put yourself out there? Why do you give yourself so many challenges?
I mean, it took me a while to learn who I was as a person, first and foremost, but as a fighter as well, because as we know, if you've ever boxed or done anything that's challenging before, you're not going to become an overnight champion. So,
sure.
Yeah, I love fighting, and it's what I'm meant to do, and it's such a humbling sport. I've played basketball, baseball, volleyball, all team sports. But when you're in boxing, it's such a lonely sport. And if you don't do something that you're supposed to do leading up to that fight, you have nobody else to blame but yourself. You can point fingers at judges, refs, coaches, the weather, everything else, but it all boils down to you. And that was very, very pure to me. I love the pureness of the sport. And I'm just a true warrior at heart. And I love to learn. I love to progress and learn a lot about myself as a fighter, and I'm trying to get the most out of this sport and this art that I can, because I got a lot to give, and it took a while, and it took a lot of traveling, a lot of blood, sweat, tears, disappointments, letdowns, and a lot of people not believing in me to get where I'm at now, and I see more growing room for myself, and I can't wait to just
for the next journey and the next step, because I love to travel. I mean, I've been such a road warrior. It's kind of weird to fight at home now, but I get the call and I go, what weight, where, who, how much? Okay, let's go. That's what I do. I didn't sign up for boxing to handpick my opponents and try to get this glamour and this persona for people to look at me like, oh, look at her, she's pretty, she boxes. No, I just box. This is what I do. This is who I am. And I work 2 full-time jobs and show my fans. That's what I do.
I'd like to say this, and probably I want you to talk more, but I really, it's going to kill me if I don't say it. And you are just as beautiful. But one thing that I would say is sex sells, which it does. But I don't think I would tell all females or even males that that's what you have to do, because I think it's fraction sells, right? So whether it's because you're beautiful, whether it's because you're just a badass fighter, whether it's because you have a great story, like whatever it is, I think that you are, and I love what you are. I think you have to be honest, and that is what will sell. Of course, being pretty, being handsome, whatever, that helps you in life no matter what. But I just think that's not the only thing, and I just really wanted to say that, especially for females, right? You don't just have to, being pretty isn't like the all in all, it will help, but there's other things, right, that will help. And I think, like, watching you and seeing you and the heart that you have and that you're fighting everybody, like, true boxing fans, like, that's nothing but respect for you.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. I mean, I'm trying to spread out the word, too. Like you said, sex does sell. It's always sold. But I for the younger generation and the girls growing up now that want to pursue boxing as a career, I don't want them to think that they have to be half naked in a magazine.
Yeah,
in order
exactly.
To get attention. And I've never went that route. I mean, I have a lot of respect for myself. I mean, I can kind of play both roles. I can be a tough, badass fighter, but, you know, I have respect for myself, and I need to hold myself in a professional manner as a grown-ass woman that fights, and that's what I do. But it's always stick true to yourself. Stick true to who you are. If you are a girl that loves your body and you want to model bikinis and shit, then that's, yeah, man, do your thing. That's you. But if you are modest and that's not you and you're kind of like, you know, you just want to put yourself out there as a, just a warrior, then do that. I think that more and more people start tuning into female boxing and really get to know the women involved in boxing, they'll have a lot more respect for us because we're just everyday women that also fight, and it just needs to be put out there a little bit more, televised. People need to hear our stories. People need to see our fight, see our training, see us having fun, see us in our family environment. So just stick true to yourself, man. That's really what I really preach.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it's taking it from, like, sideshow, you know, it's not what we're trying to be. You're not trying to be a sideshow. You, people like you, you're trying to be, you know, athletes and boxers and have a longevity and not just a sideshow because of one thing or another. But, like I said, and like you said, just be true to yourself no matter what that is. And so all you girls out there, like, you know, being pretty is a wonderful thing. It'll help you, but it's not the end of the day. It's not the answer to everything.
Yeah, no, definitely not. Yeah, it helps. It helps, but
yeah,
it's not the,
and everything.
It's not the only thing that you have to go on, you know. So.
All right, I know I'm always such a hog on questions, but
David, go ahead, David. David.
Hello.
Is David there?
Oh, well, I'll still be a hog then, because I do have more questions.
Okay.
And so, obviously, another thing is you're Native American, and there are Native American fighters out there. I haven't seen as many female ones.
Yes, David, you're on.
How big of a deal is that? In... Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, David.
Kelly, so what's your dream fight? Where would you like to fight, and who would you like to fight? What's the dream fight of all dream fights?
At this point in time, being the WBC middleweight champion and there being 2 vacant belts of, you know, ABC belts being IBF and WBA, and Christina Hammer has a WBO, my dream fight right now is to rematch Christina Hammer for a unification bout in the States and to get it all on the line when it takes all. That's my dream fight right now.
Wow, that would be a great fight.
Very
yeah,
man.
Place.
I want to fight her again.
Yeah, you went to Europe for that. In fact, all your losses are to really good people. They weren't to run-of-the-mill type of fighters. So what did you need to do to beat Christina Hammer when you were over there? Or did you feel you needed to do anything that was lacking?
I am not telling you my secrets, Miss.
I basically, and if they still haven't put that whole fight up there, but what I did in the 10th round, which is just go for it and just throw that overhand right like it's been all night. If I would have just did that in the earlier rounds, it would have been over. And I just waited a little bit too long. I was kind of playing around with her reach and my reach, and she moves. She uses the ring very, very well. She's like an expert at moving around, boxing. So if I would have just did exactly what I did in the 10th round and like the second or third round, it would have been over. And we've been working on some things from that fight. I learned a lot about myself, about, you know, I progressed since then. So we've just been working on some things, so, which I'm sure she has too. So I think it will be an even better fight next time. And I got my game plan, and I don't want her to get up next time.
Now, a quick question, David. Kaylee, now, is the middleweight your weight that you feel the most comfortable at? Because looking at your record, your last fight, you fought around 150 pounds. So, and it looks like you have fought lighter throughout your career, and actually you've only fought – actually, your last fight was only – you only weighed in at 155. So do you feel that middleweight is your best weight class, or is it because there is where you're getting your opportunities?
That's where I'm getting the most opportunities. It's funny because I'm not a natural middleweight. I have to gain weight to get there. And like you said, even when I'm fighting a middleweight, I don't weigh past probably 56 pounds because I'm a natural junior middleweight welterweight. That's where I feel – I guess better, but I don't even bother trying to kill myself to put on pounds for middleweight because I just kind of fight where I end up. And if I drop down to 52, 50, I'll just lose extra pounds. But it's middleweight is where I'm feeling comfortable now. I'm kind of growing into it, but I'm naturally not a middleweight, but I'm putting these middleweights down on the canvas. It's just so amazing. But I can tangle with the big dog, so why not, right?
Now, did you feel the difference of weight between you and Marisela in the last fight? I mean, she did come close to the 160-pound limit. She weighed about 159.5. So did you feel that she was bigger?
She was definitely bigger than 59.5, bro. But, yeah, definitely between the height and the when she rehydrated, definitely I could feel the weight difference in the clenches because I knew, you know, once you're dropping down from 175 to weighing at 160 for a fight, you're obviously going to rehydrate a good 6, 7, 8 pounds. So, yeah, there was definitely a weight difference, but we expected that. So we prepared the best way. We knew how to prepare for that. So it was definitely a difference. As far as what she weighed at the weigh-in, that can be, you know, questionable, but it is what it is. I trained and sparred people way heavier than that, so we just prepare and get prepared as well as we can for things like weight difference. So it wasn't that big of a deal.
Go ahead, David.
So Kelly, you said that that's your dream fight, but what about fighting in the States? Do you feel like fighting in the West Coast or Las Vegas or someplace other than the East Coast?
Yeah, definitely. Anywhere in the States is cool with me because I am always traveling overseas. Getting a couple hometown fights is cool. Is good because I get to, you know, get my hometown crowd to support. But definitely try to keep it in the States and try to get some TV networks and TV time. Women's boxing really needs that so we can get that fan base we had in, like, the late 90s.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I hear a lot of wind. Somebody's in a hurricane.
No, it's not me. Somebody saw the tornado.
Yeah. Well, Kelly, so what's next for you? I mean, sorry, I just got in a little late on the conversation, but what's next for you? They're talking about the Marisela Cornejo fight. Possibly in August, if they can find a promoter. But if that doesn't happen, is there an alternative?
Well, right now they're planning on having me fight at home sometime in July, and then maybe somewhere else in August, just kind of basically keeping me busy.
As far as the rematch with Marisela, I don't know who she's discussing this with, because my camp, my management team has not been contacted as far as confirming a rematch.
Mm-hmm.
I said, and I will say again, I was more than happy to rematch her, but nothing has been confirmed, discussed, or nothing, and definitely not in L.A., because I don't know, you know, I know a little bit about boxing, and when somebody wins a title, usually they don't go to somebody's hometown to defend their title. If I defend my title, it's going to be where I want to. Definitely not going to L.A. So if she wants the rematch, she can come here or wherever I want to. That's first and foremost. So just to get that kind of cleared up, there's no rematch set in stone and no event. There's no rematch being discussed as of right now. No one kind of discussed that between promoters. Like I said, more than happy to, but nothing has been confirmed. So we're just basically trying to keep busy right now.
Okay, well, there you have it. The WBC middleweight champion Kelly Rice here on the 2-minute round. We would like to thank you for your time. We know it's really late out there in you're in Long Island, right? Or Rhode Island?
We're in Rhode Island, so this is
Rhode Island.
Yeah, a little after 11.
Rhode Island is different than Long Island, yeah.
It's all right. It's a common mistake, bro. It's all right.
Okay, so it's pretty late out there. If you want to thank you for staying up a little bit and getting on the phone with us and giving us
your take on everything that's going on. And hopefully we could have you on the show sometime in the future with one of your next fights.
Definitely. Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Have a great night.
You too. Thanks.
Yeah, best of luck.
And there you have it, folks. Kelly Rice, the WBC middleweight champion who defeated Marisela Cornejo back in April last month in New Zealand on that big all-female fight card that went down under. And here we are back. Let's go back a little bit and go over some of the results from the last couple weeks. The same Saturday that Ava Knight defeated Judith Rodriguez in Los Mochis, Mexico, and Kenny Enriquez defeated Amaris Quintana, and Cines Estrada defeated Celine Lopez here in Los Angeles. There was a bit of an upset in France where the Mexican Isabel Millan earned a unanimous decision over Amira Hamsui to capture the vacant WBF flyweight title. Scores there were 192, 97, 93, and a lot closer, 96, 94. Isabel Millan has been fighting in Mexico for quite some time, hasn't gotten the exposure that a lot of these other female fighters from Mexico have gotten, and she has had to go to France to be able to get a title. It's a WBF title, not considered one of the top four, but nonetheless a title that she's holding proudly, and we'll see what comes out of that. Did you see that scorecard, or did you see those results, David?
I did see the scorecard, and I read some of the results, and it seems like she definitely won the fight. They hoisted her around. She got a lot of attention from that win, but most of the press was just talking about her looks. They didn't really talk much about her fighting.
Yeah.
She's a pretty Mexican girl.
Yeah, she's a pretty Mexican girl, and she has an interesting look, tattoos, very dark black hair. So hopefully we get to see her on Mexican TV or some kind of TV because, you know, she's able to go out there in France and beat, you know, the hometown fighter with those type of scores. Then, you know, she must be a little bit of a good fighter. I haven't had a chance to have a look at her. On the same night from Stockholm, Sweden, Mikaela Loren defending her WBC super welterweight title with the third round destruction of Ivana Havazin, while the WBC supervisor actually stopped the fight. Because I guess Ivana Havazin was getting taken care of pretty soundly. Also on the card, super lightweight Clara Stevenson scored a unanimous decision over the Italian Lucia Morelli in an 8-rounder. Scores there were 80-72, 79-73 two times. I don't know if you guys remember from the last show, but Mikaela Loren was the one that had mentioned that she was going to protest the fight card if the promoter didn't get male ring card people. I don't know if it happened or not. I don't know if it happened or not, but what did happen, and I don't know if you guys saw the pictures of this. I kind of tried to find video of it, but I wasn't able to, but I saw the video where when they were weighing in, Michaela Lauren actually poured a bottle of water over her opponent. Did you guys see that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, there's a picture of her like literally pouring a bottle of water on the head of Ivana Habazin, and then when she was asked afterwards, she just very innocently stated that she was just trying to cool her off. So I thought it was kind of a little bit rude a little bit of a lack of sportsmanship in my opinion.
It sounds like she wants to be heard, yeah, and we're talking about it. So, you know, I guess whatever she did, it works, because if people are talking, then you did your job, right?
That's true. You have a point there.
I've seen male ring guys in the ring, and it's not a pretty sight. And the fans got angry when I saw it happen at Pechanga. They actually threw things in the ring. They were throwing beer and sodas and popcorn inside the ring when the guys brought in the cards. So I don't think it's a good idea.
Huh. That is pretty. I don't think it's a good idea either. Now, last Friday, April 29th, from El Paso, Texas, the hometown girl and IBF featherweight champion Jennifer Hahn successfully defended her title for the first time with a unanimous decision over Calixta Salgado of the Dominican Republic. Scores were 193 times. And that's kind of, I mean, obviously it was not televised. I haven't seen the video of it or anything, but it looks like she had a good reaction from her hometown. And just today it was announced that she was inducted into the El Paso Hall of Fame. So she's starting to make a lot of waves out there in her hometown, which is nice to see.
Yeah, yeah.
She's been around
her
forever.
Family is big.
Now,
yeah, you know her too.
Another new, yeah, I met her. She's a really nice girl. She's managed by Luigi, our friend from New York, who also has Alicia Ashley and Maureen Shea. So I'm really happy to see this goodwill coming towards her. But one that is not too excited from all this goodwill is Amanda Serrano, who actually a couple of days ago put out a press release calling out Jennifer Hahn so that they could unify their titles. Jennifer Hahn has the IBF featherweight title, while Amanda Serrano has a WBO title. So she said that she wants to see who the best featherweight out there is and would like to make that fight. I think it can happen. I think that Lou DiBella, who is promoting Amanda Serrano to a certain extent, I know you mentioned, David, if you didn't know if she had a contract with him or not, but he has been doing their most recent fights, including her title fight, hers and her sister's. And actually, he was a promoter on record on that fight in Puerto Rico. I'm sure that he would somehow find the money to make a pretty good offer to Jennifer Hahn to come to New York and put up her title.
That would be great.
Yeah, we're talking about it, though. It's tough to see that happen in New York, right? It just seems like if they're trying to unify, they should find somewhere in the middle, because Serrano's so loved, right, on the East Coast. Hahn's so loved on the West Coast that, to be fair, you would think it would just have to happen somewhere else. And because it will be such a great fight, you know. So I think for Hahn, I just know her more than I know Serrano. I would like to see that fight happen somewhere other than New York.
Yeah, I just think that the fact that Lou DiBella is the promoter of Amanda Serrano, and I think he has a little bit more pull, and I think he has an established series of boxing shows that he does out there in Manhattan. I think that the money's going to come from his end, so he could probably say where he wants to have the fight. I do agree with you that it should be in a neutral location, but, you know, this is boxing, and it's not you don't always get the most fair thing that can happen, you know?
I know you guys touched
on the April 30th show on Saturday in Austria, where Esmeralda Moreno defeated the local favorite in, you know, I didn't put her name on here. And I didn't see a video of the fight, but I saw, like, the highlights of it. And Esmeralda Moreno, who naturally fights at a flyweight, looked a lot smaller than her opponent, but was able to still do what she wanted to do there and be the aggressor. Did you see that highlight video I sent you, David?
Yes, I did. I guess she beat her Mexican style, and
yeah.
They're not ready. That girl was not ready for it.
Yeah, and by the looks of it, because the video looks like it was made by her end over there in Austria, but you could see, like, the complete you know, not frustration, but she knew by the end of that fight or the last couple of rounds that she had lost that fight. You could just see the dejection in her face because she knew that Esmeralda Moreno really, really took it to her.
Yeah, it's funny, but certain styles give other styles a lot of problems, and if you're not used to it, it's just a surprise to the system, as Elena can tell you. I mean, she's fought every different style there is in female boxing.
No, styles make fights for sure. I think any boxer can understand that. But, you know, in Europe, you see a lot more technical boxing happen. So I'm sure, and it's funny because we say, you know, the Mexican style, we know someone who just kind of plows through you, right, comes forward and throws a lot of punches. You know, if you're just sparring and fighting people from Europe and then you get the style against you, it is a shock to the system. You kind of, you're a little bit lost, I'm sure, if it's something that you're not used to. A good lesson, perhaps, for the European fighters.
Exactly.
The same night, Saturday, April 30th, from Guaymas, Mexico, and it was televised in the semi-main event in Mexico on the one of the biggest channels in Mexico, which happens regularly in Mexico. Long-reigning WBA strawweight champion Anabel Avispa Ortiz put another defense on her ledger of her title with a dominating performance over former champion Tatia Gutierrez. Scores were 99-91 two times and 98-92. I actually watched this fight today, and you know, she's just so overwhelming. You know, she's not a great tactician. You know, she's not, you know, what you would call a boxer, an orthodox boxer, a textbook boxer. That she is not. I mean, she does throw the jab more than other female fighters that I've seen that have her same size and her same body type. You know, short, stocky. You know, you don't get to see them throw a lot of jabs. Mostly the ones that throw jabs are the taller, longer ones because they have that advantage. But she does throw a jab every once in a while. But what she does is she just puts her head down and, like Elena was saying just a couple minutes ago, just throw punches, you know. And she's just going to stand there and see who's the tougher of the two. And in this case, she ended up being the tougher one. I mean, this girl, Tati Gutierrez, was never really in the fight. She had a lot of trouble trying to even put on an offensive. So, you know, I don't know what the plan is.
Are you there, Felipe?
Yeah,
you can hear me? We lost Felipe.
No, I'm here.
I still hear
it was me. Oh, okay. And
yeah,
it was me.
I'm here.
I lost me.
Oh. So I don't know if Avispa Ortiz is wanting to stay in that weight class for a lot longer, or if she's gonna move up. But did you get a chance to see that fight, David?
No, I didn't get a chance to see that one. I was interested,
yeah,
though. I still want to see it.
Okay. That's what happened there. Real quickly, a couple more results. We had middleweight LaTondra Jones, who is promoted by Mayweather Promotions, stop the overmatch Kamika Slade in the first round of Schedule 4. Jones now goes to 3-0 with two knockouts. I watched that fight live on Facebook. They actually broadcasted live on Facebook. And this Kamika Slade, who was making her pro debut, was completely overmatched. She had nothing to do in that ring, and LaTondra Jones scored a couple punches, and then the girl turned her back, and they stopped the fight. So, you know, it's those kind of fights where you don't know what you're going to get from a pro debuter. And another fight, which this young woman that we haven't heard a lot from, but I took the liberty of including her on the fight results. Ebony Jones scored a unanimous decision over Nancy Franco in a six-rounder in the flyweight division to go to 7-0 and three knockouts. Why is this somewhat newsworthy? Because Ebony Jones is only 7-0. Nancy Franco has over 20 fights. Even though she's a strawweight, junior flyweight, she does have a lot more experience. And Ebony Jones, with just seven fights, has put wins over Franco and Mayela Perez. Mayela Perez is a very, very tough fighter with close to 30 fights from Mexico. And I've seen her fight live, and she's a very, very tough fighter. And this Ebony Jones from Fayetteville, North Carolina, was able to defeat both of these Mexican fighters, Nancy Franco and Mayela Perez. So that's a name that we might want to keep an eye on in the future, because she might be making some waves pretty soon.
Oh, okay, out of North Carolina.
Yeah, out of North Carolina, which is kind of rare, but it looks like they're keeping her busy. You know, she's fought 7 times, and I think she already has another fight scheduled. So see who she steps up against. They actually didn't have an opponent on BoxRec just yet. And just a quick note, I know you guys touched on that withdrawal of the appeal from Christine McMahon she was protesting, you know, the Selena Munoz. So mm-hmm. she withdrew that the protest. And also we touched on the fact that Amanda Serrano called out Jennifer Hahn. Another thing, too, that came out in Mexico is that Arely Muncino, the former WBC flyweight champion, actually came out with the news that she had signed with Sanford Promotions. And a couple of days later, Promociones del Pueblo, who's the other major Mexican promoter here, who both of them have a number of female fighters on their roster, actually came out and said, you still have a contract with us. So at that point, Sanford Promotions decided to withdraw their interest in Arely Muncino. The rumor that is going around is that for whatever reason, Promociones del Pueblo do not want Arely Muncino's father and slash trainer in her corner and are not willing to give her any more fights until she makes some changes to her team. She is not willing to do that. So I think she went to look for greener pastures, but she did forget that she had a legal binding document stopping her from doing that. So we'll see what comes out of that. Right now, she has not fought in a while, and obviously she's still under contract with Promociones del Pueblo, who signed her not too long ago and actually got her the shot at the WBC flyweight title, which she won against a Japanese fighter, which I don't remember, and then she ended up losing it to Jessica Kika Chavez, who is the current WBC champion right now.
Interesting
and
development.
And the last note on the female fight chatter section is it is rumored that the considered number one pound-for-pound female fighter in the world, Cecilia Breakhouse, will be the semi-main event for the rematch between heavyweight champion Tyson Fury and Vladimir Klitschko in Manchester, England, sometime this summer. Do you have any news regarding that, David?
Yes, I spoke to Tom Loeffler, the promoter, and he said that they are looking for an opponent for Cecilia Breakhouse. Right now, it's a matter of money. They've already made contacts with several fighters, but those fighters were asking for too much money. But they're still looking for somebody, and there's still little time to get somebody before then.
Well, hopefully that gets done, because that would be a good exposure for a female fighter, especially Cecilia Breakhouse, who, you know, is considered the best fighter in the world. She holds all the titles in the welterweight division, and that would be great exposure for her. We know that Tom Loeffler from K2 Promotions is very interested in working with her. So hopefully we find somebody, or they find somebody, to face her.
Well, they have Layla McCarter's team's been calling Tom Loeffler, but I think they wanted too much money at this point. But their name is still there. Their name is still there, and we'll see what happens. If they can make that fight, that's a mega fight right there. Because I consider Halo one of the top fighters in the world.
It looks like we have a call on hold. Let's see if we can patch them in and see if they want to talk to us. Erica 267, do you have a comment, question for the two-minute round?
Oh, I don't have a question. David, this is Brian Cohen.
Brian, hey. How you doing, Brian?
How's everybody doing tonight?
Good.
Very good, Brian. Very good. I guess you're pretty proud of all your fighters coming back with titles from New Zealand.
I am pretty proud of everybody. Yeah, we did pretty good that night. We did good getting titles. We didn't do good getting paid, but we did good.
Oh, is that right? I don't know that. You still haven't gotten paid, or?
Oh, that was a train wreck. Yeah, we didn't even get money for food when we were out there. It was a terrible promoter. She's horrible. She left us stranded. I mean, just it was a train wreck.
Oh, that's sad to hear, because you had all these fighters there, and there was a lot of attention to it. But wow, that's too bad.
Yeah.
So what's the next step? What's the next step there? Are you taking
the WBC involved? Mauricio Suleiman is involved. The New Zealand Boxing Commission is involved, but they're literally clueless. We're actually working with the opponents, all the people that we fought. We're actually in contact, and we have a lawsuit going right now, actually. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah. That's kind of bad.
Well, that's too bad. I didn't even know about that. I had heard there were certain things, but nobody was talking about it. They just said, oh, things could have been better.
Oh, well, I mean, I'll let you know. Right now, we added everything up. It's a total of about $37,000 she owes out. She didn't even pay the round card girls. Like, that's
wow.
How bad it was.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Well, do they have a commission over there?
They have a commission, if you want to call it a commission. You know, they just have a guy that walks around with a sport coat on. Pretty much.
Well, hopefully, Brian, maybe we could have you on our next show because we're running a little bit out of time here. And maybe we could have you back on our next show and you could give us more details on that so we could put some light on that situation.
Oh, yeah, okay. No problem.
Hey, that'll be
all
good,
right.
Brian.
Thank you. Thanks for calling me, Brian.
All right, no problem. Talk to you guys later. Bye-bye.
I'll put you back on hold. Well, we're coming up on an hour and a half here, so let's go over the upcoming calendar. Thursday, May 5th, actually tonight, there's a fight in Melrose, Massachusetts. No big names on it, but I thought it was kind of interesting. Alexandra Lopes will be facing Christina Camford in an eight-rounder at 154-pound division. But the interesting thing is that it's scheduled, as far as BoxRec is concerned, for three-minute rounds. So that's something
yes.
that, you know,
oh,
it's not too
great.
Common that WBC pushes really against a three-minute round. And another thing that I learned this last week, in an interview I did with a local fighter here from Southern California, Paola Estrada, which the interview will be coming out pretty soon on the prizefighters.com, the all-female website, that she in her last fight also fought a three-minute round here in California. Originally, her and her team wanted to fight her opponent in a six-rounder, but the commission did not allow it. So then they did allow a four-rounder of three-minute rounds. So maybe that's something that we can get into and maybe get in contact with Andy Foster, the director of the California State Athletic Commission, and maybe we could have him on the show to have an explanation or have him discuss when is the three-minute round allowed or when is the two-minute round allowed. Is it because the camp agrees to it or is it the rule of the California State Athletic Commission? That's something that we could hopefully try to see if we could get done for a future show.
It's been done before. I remember when Layla Harder asked for three-minute rounds,
exactly.
And she had
I believe it's the promoter, right? It's the promoter who decides. And, I mean, it's just like gloves or anything else, but I believe it's the promoter. I'm sure it has to go by the commission, but I don't think there's any, like, national or, you know, federal or international law that says women can't fight a three-minute round.
Well,
it's just
right.
really promoters.
Or the sanctioning group, because I know the WBC was
exactly.
against it, the WBA was for it, and so forth.
Mm. Okay. Well, Saturday, May 7th, this same Saturday, the same Saturday where David Avila is going to be in the house for the Canelo against Khan, but in Buenos Aires, Argentina, we actually see the return of who is considered one of the best fighters out there, Marcela de Tigresa Acuña, will be coming back against former Argentinian Mayra Gomez in a 10-rounder in the featherweight division, and that's going to be for the interim WBA title. Mayra Gomez, I don't know if you remember her, but she was the one that actually fought at super bantamweight against Jackie Nava in Jackie Nava's last fight last year in February, and now she's going to be facing
right.
another great fighter in Marcela Tigresa Acuña. And in Mexico City, the same night, this Saturday, Estrella Valverde will be facing Belén González in a 10-rounder for the Mexican super flyweight title. On Saturday, May 14th, from Buenos Aires, Argentina. Argentina is one of the biggest female fight countries in the world. I think it's in the last couple
definitely.
Of years, it has been the number one country that has put on more female fights than any other country in the world, with Mexico a close second, and then Germany also in the top three. So on Saturday, May 14th, from Buenos Aires, Argentina, Marisa Gabriela Núñez will face Adela Celeste del Carmen Peralta. And all these girls have three names for some reason. In a 10-rounder in the super lightweight division, and that's for the IBF
140-pound title. The same night on Saturday, May 14th, from the Arena Coliseo in Mexico City, and this will be broadcast on Televisa. I think it might even be the main event. Mariana La Barbie Juarez will face Japanese Tamao Ozawa in a 10-rounder for the she's going to be defending her WBC International Super Flyweight title. And lastly, the same night in Loserville, Maryland, a girl that has been there's not a lot of people know about her. She hasn't gotten a big buzz. She has fought for a title in the past, which she lost in Argentina. But she is ranked in the top 10 in a lot of the organizations. Her name is Teresha Douglas, and she's going to be facing Anaí Torres, this tough Mexican girl from Mexico City, in an 8-rounder in the flyweight division. And that is the upcoming calendar for the next 2 weeks. And with that, we have come to the end of the fourth episode of Here, the 2 Minute Round, your hooks and jabs look at the female fight world. Any closing thoughts, David, and then Elena?
I just wanted to get back to one of the fight notes. You said Mariana Juarez is going to be fighting against Tama Ozawa. I think her boyfriend's on that card too. I don't know who's going to be the main event, but
Marco Antonio Peralta. I could almost guarantee you the main event is Mariana Juarez, because Mariana Juarez in Mexico is a much bigger name than her boyfriend.
Okay. Well, with that, I'll say goodbye then.
Elena, any closing thoughts?
I can't wait till the next time that we have a show so we can I can give my take on the 2 minute or the 3 minute round, because I do have a lot to say. It's something I've talked about for a long time, but that will be for the next show.
Okay, so that would do. We'll parcel out some time, maybe 30 minutes, for Elena to give her take on the 2 minute versus the 3 minute round. First off, I'd like to apologize to all our listeners for the technical difficulties. I think we have it under control. It will not happen again. But other than that, thank you for listening to this, the fourth episode of the 2 minute round on the Leave It in the Ring Network. And with that, we say good night.
Good night.
For years and years, heating has meant boilers, and boilers have meant breakdowns. Over here and over here. Anything but music to your ears. At Fisher Future Heat, we create state-of-the-art home heating systems that we fit, then you forget, with no annual servicing needed and a huge 10-year guarantee. In short, we engineer common sense. Search Fisher Future Heat today. Fisher Future Heat. The future is electric.